Welcome to Overtime Hockey Talk. My name, Mark Paul. His name?
Justin. Yes.
I paused. A lot going on in the NHL. We finally are past the trade deadline. We don't have to talk about trades anymore. Uh-huh. Although apparently there was some news about John Tavares and things looking slightly dire for them. But let's not focus. Who cares?
I'm not going to toot my own horn about calling that one.
But you still haven't called anything. Apparently he's still very much mulling it over. He's probably not going to go to the Rangers because he knows that he will get crucified by somebody.
Oh, absolutely.
That would be my guess. Yep. Brock Besser on IR along with Charlie McAvoy is out for at least 4 weeks for the Bruins. That is huge news for them. Devastating. Fortunately, not going to miss any of the playoffs. You also have Max Pacioretty, who's out 4 to 6 weeks. And Jay Bouwmeester going to miss the next 4 to 6 months with a hip injury.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the Blues, things just keep on getting worse as they keep falling down. The standings are now still only 2 points out of the playoffs, but 2-6-2 in their last 10 games. The St. Louis Blues from worst to worst. Bad to worse. That's what the phrase is, bad to worse. Yeah, I mean, we're still looking at a Calgary, St. Louis, Colorado, L.A. race for those final few spots. Maybe Anaheim, include them in there. But, yeah, things shaping up in the West. In the East, the Florida Panthers pulled into a playoff spot for a short time. Of course, they have 3 games in hand on the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Florida Panthers have won 6 in a row and are sitting 1 point out of a playoff spot with 3 games in hand. And they are just absolutely rolling.
Yeah, you called it. And that Barkov line is smoking hot right now.
Yep, I know it because they beat the Leafs. And yep,
was it 4-1 on that one?
No. They lost in a shootout.
Did they?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so, yeah. 4-1 was what they beat the Flyers.
That's
in the last
right,
game.
That's right.
So, yeah, it looks like the Florida Panthers are, I would say, have a strong chance of making the playoffs now. I mean, they're definitely not going to probably end up in a 3 spot in their division. The Leafs probably have that pretty locked up, 15 points up on the Panthers. Granted, 5 games in hand, but to win all those and the Leafs lose all those, that's very unlikely. So, yeah, I think you're looking at the Florida Panthers in the playoffs. Now it's just a matter of who is going to miss. Is it New Jersey? Is it Columbus? If it's Columbus, Columbus is in huge trouble.
Yep.
They can't miss the playoffs.
They're going to.
You think that they're out? They're
the I really do.
They're the ones who are going to miss a 4-5-1 in their last 10 games, although they do have a nice 4-2 win over the Sharks.
Yeah, I think tonight's game, this Tuesday, by the way, for those listening in, Bobrovsky's out for tonight, if I heard correctly. So that's never good for them.
Taking on the Vegas Golden Knights, who have, I mean, they're 6-3-1 in their last 10. So it's hard to say that they've taken a little step back, but they don't look quite as dominant as they did maybe in the first third of the season.
No, and
so they're kind of, I don't know what's going to happen come playoff time for them. They're going to play either Dallas or LA or maybe Anaheim, Colorado, St. Louis. None of those teams are favorable teams to play.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think if you're Vegas, the one team you don't want to play are the LA Kings. LA just went in there and handed it to them at home for a couple games there.
And then they go and they lose 5-3 to Chicago.
Yeah, I don't get that one at all. But
I mean, I'm not sure exactly who was in net. There's maybe it wasn't quick. But yeah, playoff time's a different animal.
Yeah, and LA's got the experience. When you got Jeff Carter back now.
Vegas has Marc-Andre Fleury.
That is true.
Who finds a different level in the playoffs. We know that. Like, there's no doubt. Although, I guess at one point, remember there was, it was probably like 2010 through 2013, there was some big question marks about Marc-Andre Fleury in the playoffs. Because remember, there was a game where I think he gave up 7 goals against the Flyers. And
yep.
You know, they had a couple first-round exits to the, I think both times to the Flyers.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Just Claude Giroux had their number. And, yeah. Yeah, so, but Marc-Andre Fleury, now, at least the last few years, has been lights out in the playoffs. I don't know if I see that changing at this point. He's been lights out for them in general.
And Vegas probably is just dying to get James Neal back. That definitely hurts them right now. And it's funny, when I was listening on the radio and they were talking about Vegas just getting off their second or third three-game skid that they've had all year long. And it's funny, for a team that, you know, you think by now teams would have figured out that they've just only come across their second or third three-game losing streak. I think I'll get that word right one of these days.
Try it one more time.
Okay, streak.
There you go.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think it's going to be really fun. First off, all playoff games are a little more accessible. Not that you can't watch any game you want if you go onto NHL streams on Reddit and, you know, find whatever game you want. Whenever there's a blacked out game, I know we talked about it earlier in the season, that the NHL.TV's slogan is you have no excuse to miss a game, except for when it's blacked out, it's on NBC Sports Network, it's on NHL Network, and you don't have cable. The whole point of paying for NHL.TV is that, hey, I don't have to have cable in order to watch NHL games. Well, yeah. Probably at least half of the Leafs games are either on NHL Network or like NBC Sports Network, or they're just not available for whatever reason. A lot of them are on NHL Network. So
ridiculous.
That is obnoxious. I can watch any Leafs game when they play Detroit.
Hey-o.
But Yeah, okay. Well, you know, we were going to dive into some MVP potential awards.
Yeah, we were, weren't we?
So with that said, let's open up this can of worms. Because possibly this is the most open it has ever been for MVP. I think there's a list of a legitimate 8 guys who could be the MVP of the league right now.
Yeah, and it would be hard-pressed to make an argument against most of them. I think early on in the season, Kucherov started to run away with it, and maybe you could throw Tavares' name in there early on, but then after they kind of slowed down a little bit and everybody else sort of caught up, and now we, like you said, we got 8 or 9 guys who legitimately are MVP contenders.
How is nobody talking about Ovechkin as MVP? Well, Ovechkin has 20% of the Capitals' goals.
Yeah, they...
20%?
That's a crazy number. Ovechkin and the Capitals have quietly just sat in first place in that division.
They've just hummed along. They kind of had a rough start, and it looked like... I think we said it when they were kind of flopping between the wild cards and just outside the playoff picture. We said, you know, they'll figure it out. This team's too good to miss the playoffs, but they needed somebody to really come to the forefront. Ovechkin certainly was scoring in the beginning of the season. Not the very beginning. He got, you know, but anyways, yeah, he has 72 points on the year, which actually puts him at more than, he's at about 35% of his team's, he's had a part in 35% of his team's goals. He's scored 20% of his team's goals.
That's crazy.
I don't know how he's not. He is definitely a guy up for MVP in my book.
Yeah, another guy for me.
Not necessarily going to win it, but.
Well, no. He'll definitely get that Maurice Richard. I don't think anybody's going to catch him there. Although Evgeny Malkin's going to make it close, but I still think Ovechkin's going to run away with it.
He always seems to grab a hat trick late in the year.
He does, yeah.
He'll have 5 goals in one game, and then it'll just be over and done with.
Yeah, but Connor McDavid, an interesting stat that I read the other day, I think it was nearly 42 or 48, I can't remember which number it was, but percent of his team's goals are when he's involved in some way, shape, or form.
So he has 80 points right now, and
yes,
his team is 187 goals, so yeah, almost 50%.
Yeah, and almost, you think about it, if he had, himself a legit, or even a above average, pretty dang good scoring winger, how many more assists and goals that team would have would be unreal.
But he's had Draisaitl playing alongside him almost the whole year. That's the reason why.
Yeah, but
if he had a legitimate second line center who didn't play with him and was able to actually contribute 45% of your team's goals, or assisting or scoring, that's, you can't win like that.
No,
you're not going to win like that.
Well, imagine if you had Kucherov or even Taylor Hall playing on the wing with Connor McDavid. Do you think you get more production than he is right now getting with Draisaitl?
Only slightly.
Yeah. Okay.
It's that second line. It's nothing to do with McDavid. He's humming along at almost like 1.2 points a game.
Yeah, he's crazy.
What do you? You can't ask any more from him. He's doing exactly the same thing he did last year. Yeah, last year he had 105 points or something like that. So I mean, he's
because Lucic actually knew how to score.
He's essentially and he played with Patrick Maroon. So essentially, he's almost on the same pace that he was last year, and that was an MVP year. So I mean, you got to think Crosby didn't win the MVP every year, and it's very difficult. I mean, you got to have good teammates. No, everyone is just honing in on him at this point.
Right.
There's no reason not to. You stack that top line and everybody's just going to put their best players out against them and say, yeah, go ahead and try and let, Milan Lucic, which he did score.
He did his first game his first game since, I think it was December 28th.
28 or 29 games ago, right?
Yeah. Ridiculous.
That's bad. Which just speaks to a further problem what the Oilers have, which is they're paying a lot of people, a few guys, a lot of money, and they're only getting production out of really two of them, and that's Draisaitl, Draisaitl has more points per 60 this year than he did last year, so he's improved on last year. It's tough to pin it on those two guys. It's definitely. Yeah. The rest of the other 18 players that play, Cam Talbot included.
Yeah.
That brings us to maybe a sidebar convo, because Connor McDavid obviously has been fantastic. He's third in the league in points right now. Could end up overtaking Nikita Kucherov, especially as we go down the stretch and the Oilers don't have much to play for. So they're playing a little looser, and the Lightning, maybe are coming across teams that are trying to test themselves for the playoffs, so they're bringing it every night when they're playing the Lightning, whereas the Oilers teams maybe take a night off against them. So what is your thought on a player who misses the playoffs winning MVP?
I don't hate it, but
now remember the definition of this award is a player most valuable to his team.
Right, and that's where I come in, where my thought process goes, because a lot of times you get voters who want to see guys win, but they're not necessarily thinking, oh, he's been that valuable to his team versus maybe some other players. For instance, like you look at a guy like Taylor Hall, what he means to his team is so far more valuable than, say, for instance, a Phil Kessel, right? He's putting up great numbers, but he doesn't necessarily bring that most valuable.
Phil Kessel wouldn't win the MVP even if he was leading the league in scoring.
No.
I'm convinced. People don't like him.
He's too ugly. Why would you want him to win it?
He just doesn't have that personality that people like, that writers, I think, are going to go, yeah, I just I like that guy. Right. I'm going to vote for him. He deserves this, Whereas Nikita Kucherov is the sexy and the Russian winning the MVP, something. I don't know. Writers, especially American writers, they don't want to vote for another Canadian, I think. I think there is something to be said about the nationality of a player when it comes to who's voting for them. I think that Americans are more likely to maybe hope who's on this list?
Then they're maybe hoping Blake Wheeler or Johnny Gaudreau.
Like a Johnny Gaudreau. Yeah. I mean, if he has a late season run, which a lot of times we have seen, I don't know if you remember, was it 2012? Or 11, when Corey Perry he ended up scoring 50 goals and he had a couple hat tricks at the end of the year, and he ended up leading the league in scoring, and it was like, what the Corey Perry led the league in scoring, and he won the MVP that year because of his last 20 games. Mm-hmm. So right now we're in the last 15 games. Whoever goes on a hot streak, whoever is the hottest, maybe gives themselves a little extra stock because it's the last thing people remember. And people, I think that people tend to, we take those 15 games and we go, okay, let's say the Calgary Flames. Mm-hmm. Right now they sit 3 points out of the playoffs and they have one game lost to the Kings. So the Kings have an extra game in hand. Let's say the Flames go on a run. They're 3-5-2 in their last 10. Let's say they go and they end up last 15 games, they win 10 or 11 games. Gaudreau has 20 points in the last 15 games, and the Flames make the playoffs. And Johnny Gaudreau has a few crazy games, overtime winners. Does that not make people more likely to go, damn, he helped his team get in the playoffs, which is pretty arbitrary because, okay, he goes on a run with 15 games left. Kucherov went on a run with, in the very beginning of the season, that was otherworldly. Very few players have starts, let alone spots in the season like that. But when it happens in the beginning as opposed to the end, if it happens at the end, we see you as clutch. If it happens in the beginning, we just see you as a fast starter.
Right. No, I...
Whereas they all count the same, right?
Yeah, because essentially what Kucherov did then at that point is he vaulted his team into the playoffs, just got him in there early, so now they don't have to put their foot on the gas at the end of the season.
See, my thing with Kucherov, though, is how much is what Kucherov's doing because of Stamkos?
Sure, and that's going to hurt his... I think that's going to hurt his MVP voting just a little bit, because when you get guys who are doing it almost kind of solo, where, like, for instance... Taylor Hall. Yeah, those guys who are basically carrying their team, yeah, they're going to get a little bit more credibility just because they're one-man band.
Now, with 10 games less played than last year, right? Last year, Kucherov played 74 games. This year, he's already at 64. He has now matched his career high that he set last year with 85 points. He had 40 goals and 45 assists. So, Kucherov, I think without Stamkos last year, had 85 points. So is it fair to say, okay, here's Kucherov with his, he's a 40 goal scorer with, you know, 80 to 90 points on his own. Tack on a Stamkos and he becomes a 105, 110 point scorer. You know, who knows how he finishes here. Is it fair to say that Stamkos is the real reason that he's doing so much better? I don't think that he's the sole reason that he's doing so much better. I think that he's only his fourth season, right? How old is he? How old's Kucherov?
23.
Yeah, 23. So, yeah. I mean, he's still getting better. That's the scary thing. He's 24.
Okay.
He'd be 25. Yeah, so, I mean, I guess he's probably peaked in terms of how good he is. So now it's whoever is surrounded around him is going to be different. So,
I mean... No different than any other team. When you have good players surrounding you, you're going to get a little bit better. But it's nice for a guy like Kucherov who had that one year without Stamkos to say, hey, I can do it on my own. I don't need this flashy center to be throwing me the puck.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I think that when it comes to voting, you're going, okay, we've got Kucherov who is first, and then we have Stamkos who's sixth in scoring. So I guess you could say that some of Stamkos's boost is from Kucherov, of course.
Sure.
But I think that they're both certainly helping each other and elevating each other's numbers. Whereas when you look at a Claude Giroux or even Malkin, Malkin, I mean, yeah, I guess he's playing with Phil Kessel. So you would maybe, no, they're not playing.
No, together. Not
yeah, Kessel, just on the power play, the power play though.
Right.
But yeah, Malkin's carrying the bulk of his 5-on-5 play.
Mm-hmm.
But then you've got MacKinnon, a Taylor Hall, who are essentially doing this on their own. I guess MacKinnon's playing with Rantanen.
Yeah. So let me ask you on the flip side then, because a lot of times you look at, you know, guys look at wingers who are very productive and they say, oh, it's because, for instance, like, you know, Jakub Voracek, when he's successful, it's because he's playing with, you know, Claude Giroux or, you know, Sean Couturier early on, or, you know, even... You go a little bit further and you can make the argument for, like you said, Kucherov because he's playing with Stamkos, right? Well, what about on the flip side when you have a guy like Alex Ovechkin, who we know can drive the play, and is he making a guy like Nicholas Backstrom that much better, or is it because the two of them play so well together?
I mean, I'd say that Ovechkin is a lot like Tarasenko, let's take this year aside because Tarasenko has... really found his sweet spot with when Schwartz was healthy
and Shen.
And so, but in the past, Tarasenko has driven his line, just like Patrick Kane. Mm-hmm. Patrick Kane has driven his line, even though he's a winger. So I think when you're an all-world winger, you certainly can drive your line. Is Voracek the reason that line is chugging along? I certainly don't think he's hurting at all. I think that he's... Yeah, that line is Couturier, Giroux, and Voracek is... I mean, find me a better line. What we got? Bergeron, Bergeron, Marchand, and Patch, blah, blah, blah.
Pasternak.
David Pasternak. There we go.
Yep.
And that line's better, and it's tough to find another line that's been more productive than those three. I mean, Giroux has 55 assists and Voracek has 57.
That's crazy.
That's nuts. So, yeah, I mean, that line is certainly unique. There aren't many lines where all three players are elite players. Yeah. Right? Like, most of the time you have two guys. Like, we'll take Austin Matthews, William Nylander, and then you have Zach Hyman. Zach Hyman's a nice player. He does his job. Is he flashy? No. Is he going to score 20 goals in this league? Maybe once. I mean, I think he's 13 this year, which that's about probably what I expect from a Zach Hyman, is right around 30 to 40 points and, you know, 15-ish goals, which is fine. It works because of what he does for Matthews and Nylander and opening space for them. But they could easily throw... Who do we want to throw on that line? A Marlowe or a Marner or, you know, if you wanted to move JVR him to the wing, like a JVR. Yeah. But with maybe the line doesn't work the same way, but also you're not spreading out your talent the same way. And so teams can more easily match up against you. And that's kind of the point, is that, hey, if you can shut down Matthews and Nylander, congratulations. We'll throw Kadri and Marner at you, or we'll throw... Bozak and Van Riemsdyk. Well, Bozak's not much of a threat, but Van Riemsdyk has 26 or 27 goals on the year. He certainly is rolling. But maybe a more balanced attack, as opposed to where the Flyers are. They're that top line is driving almost everything. I mean, 57 assists. Holy cow!
Yeah.
So back to the MVP. MVP. Let's go top three. In no order. Throw out three guys that you would have up for, that would have your vote.
Ooh. Man, so first off, I'm gonna throw Taylor Hall's name out there. And again, I think that kind of goes to the fact that he's driving so much production on his team in general. And not only that, but he is driving his line too. He's just the point streak just only helps his case, especially towards the end of the year, and they're pushing for a playoff spot. It's an awesome, fun thing to watch that guy play right now. He's taking it to another level, and I think Edmonton is. It's funny. I read an article today, and somebody was saying how they're going to write a piece on the Adam Larsson trade, and they're like, "Oh, what pitcher should I use for the background? Should I put Adam Larsson, Peter Chiarelli, or Taylor Hall?" And like 90% of people were like, "Put Taylor Hall's pitcher up there." So.
Yeah, absolutely.
I got a nice laugh out of that. So yeah, he would be one of them.
Not in the top 10 of scoring, by the way.
No, I know that.
Which is crazy.
I mean, he does have 72 points in 61 games, but
sure,
nothing to scratch.
And it's a little different this year because we have so many guys playing at a higher than a point per game pace. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the past, there's been maybe two, three, four, five guys that are playing at that kind of pace.
Yeah.
And this year, there's 15 something.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a little bit different. Any love? Would you give any love to like a John Klingberg or who's leading in defensive scoring? With 56?
I might give him some love for. You know, the Norris, but not going to give him any Hart Trophy love here.
Okay.
So next on my list, I'm going to go with a Nathan MacKinnon.
Right now,
you can see the difference of when he's in the lineup and when he wasn't. When he was out with injury, they were just terrible. And that's just, I mean, when your team sucks without you, you know you're how valuable you are to that team.
And honestly, when he was drafted, he was talked up probably the same way that Eichel and Matthews were talked up.
Mm-hmm.
Connor McDavid, different kind of player.
Yeah. Like,
not even fair to compare anybody to him. But MacKinnon, Matthews, Eichel, I'd say expectations were pretty similar. And he had an amazing rookie year, fell off, had a couple down years, and this year he's showing it. He's certainly showing it. Again, only sixth in league scoring, so
yeah. But his points per game,
yes, highest in the
highest
league.
So
actually, that is wrong.
Well,
Brian Gionta has three assists in two games, so he's at a 1.50. But yeah, Nathan MacKinnon is second in the league.
That cracks me up. and then And then I got to put Nikita Kucherov in there, too. I mean, the guy's been great this season. You can't knock what he's done just because he's been playing with Stamkos. I mean, like you said, he did it last year without him. You know, love watching those two on the ice, to be quite honest. They're exciting. Kucherov is just fun to watch, and he is the type of player that the NHL would be happy to hand the trophy to. He's not boring like Phil Kessel, like you said. So, yeah, and then I got to throw in a dark horse really quick, too, because I love watching this guy play. Okay. And he's one of those quiet leaders that just gets it done, and he's putting up good numbers this year. It's Blake Wheeler.
Yeah, Blake Wheeler has kind of become the new favorite captain throughout the year, yes. The league. I do find it funny that people are like, oh, Blake Wheeler's the best captain in the league. I'm like, dude, Sidney Crosby's won 3 Stanley Cups, got a 4 finals, and has won 2 gold medals.
Yeah.
On the best team maybe ever assembled, and he was the captain. Not even because he was the best player, which he is. He was the best player, but but because guys follow him. Guys like him.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, who cares what you think of a guy if you want to hang out with somebody outside of the rink? That really doesn't matter. Does he work his ass off? Yes. Is he phenomenal? Yes. Does he care about his teammates? Absolutely. I mean, Nathan MacKinnon trains with the guy.
Oh yeah.
In the off season, right? So I'm pretty sure that's MacKinnon. Yeah, MacKinnon and Crosby, they're friends. And if they're not, they are now. Okay.
Yeah. So who do you got? I gotta hear your top 3 in no particular order.
In no order, you know, as much as I appreciate what Taylor Hall has done, mm-hmm. I'm not going to put him up for MVP because, first off, his team is on the brink. They're on the bubble. Mm-hmm. So, if they make the playoffs, fantastic. I hope they do. Maybe that pushes them up. Right now, when we look at the standings, the Devils are, what? They're 4 points in. The Panthers come in. Blue Jackets go on a little roll. They're only 5-5. They've lost 3 straight. I mean, it's certainly possible that the Devils could still miss the playoffs.
Yes.
If they miss the playoffs, it doesn't matter to me how valuable you are to your team. Your value is, it didn't matter because you didn't get to the playoffs.
Sure.
So you can be as valuable as you want to your team. You can have the best goalie in the league and never score a goal. Is your goalie really valuable? Yeah, but do you deserve to win the MVP of the league? I don't think so, because ultimately what you did didn't matter, and no one will remember it.
So just so we're clear.
I know
clear,
that's very harsh.
No. Just so we're clear, though, you hold a lot more weight than I do in the fact that you have to win and get in the playoffs.
I think that, well, it is you can lead the league in scoring, mm-hmm. and miss the playoffs. I'm not sure when it's happened.
I'm going
to
look that
I'm
up.
I'm certain that it's had to have happened before. I mean, it could happen this year. Connor McDavid could still lead the league in scoring. He could win the Art Ross, and he still doesn't deserve the MVP because his team's not going to make the playoffs. Because here's the other side of the coin, is that, okay, now in the case of Taylor Hall, maybe this isn't necessarily true, but definitely for a Connor McDavid, let's say he goes on a run. Let's say he ends up with 28 points in the final 18 games of the season, something like, or 16 games of the season. He just goes on a total run. I'm going to say the reason why that happened is because he's not playing for the playoffs anymore. So what are you playing for at this point if you're Connor McDavid? Yourself. You're playing for some points. At this point, I'm going, well, we're not going to win. Dish me the fucking puck. Get me points, because this could help the end of my career. You know, if you end up with 115 points, it could boost you up, and you know, you'll be higher in the all-time standing. Like, why not? Definitely players think about that.
So. Oh, absolutely. And guys, I mean, even not necessarily just because they're looking to get points in the standings, but guys have, like, all these clauses written in their contracts say, hey, if you get 30 goals, you get a bonus.
Sure,
so guys are going to say, screw it. I'm not passing the puck. I'm going to shoot so I can go in there and make my bonus.
Heck yeah. Make your bonus. Yeah. Which, more power to you, especially if your team's out.
Yep.
What's the point? So that's where I think that those games become less meaningful. So it doesn't really matter to me what kind of point total you end up with, because the games mean nothing. Now, in the case of Taylor Hall, do the games mean nothing? No. But if they go down the stretch and they end up missing the playoffs, I'm going to go, that's great. He had a great season. But what he did wasn't as important to his team and the team's success as some guy who, you know, maybe like a... even shoot a Patrice Bergeron, which now he's out, so he's fallen a little further behind. But or Alex Ovechkin, who has been in on 35% of his team's goals, and his team's going to finish in first. So I mean, he's incredibly productive on a team that is not only in the playoffs but towards the top of the standings. That to me is more important. Okay, so my top three, I have to give the nod to Nikita Kucherov.
Okay.
I think you're kidding yourself if you don't put him in there. I think that you're just being stupid if you don't have Kucherov in there, because the start that he had to the season was unreal. We haven't seen a start like that in 20 or 30 years, so we got to give him that. The whole Taylor Hall point streak is cool, but what does it really matter if you get points in 25 straight games or points in 25 out of 30 games and they're spread out a little bit? It makes no difference to me. Anyways, I keep going back to Taylor Hall. Number two, I am going to go, I'm going right down the points sheet right now. I'm going Evgeny Malkin.
Wow.
Malkin has steadily, he's been, the Penguins look like they were in trouble, and the Penguins just keep rolling along. And when Crosby doesn't look good, Malkin looks great. And that has been the case for his entire career. And when Crosby's been hurt, Malkin has always risen to the top. He won an MVP, right?
Yeah,
the year Crosby was out. So, I mean, he still has a lot left in the tank, clearly. And he is the reason the Penguins are doing so well. And I would say not necessarily Sidney Crosby. So, hey, Sidney Crosby definitely has played a part, but Malkin, I think, is the bigger part of it. And so I'm going Malkin. So that's two Russians. So nobody can say that I'm prejudiced against
them.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay. The third guy. Ah, man, this all depends on who ends up making the playoffs. Man, it's tough not to want to give it to Giroux, just because of the, like, the insane roller coaster that team's been on, and one of the best comebacks I think we've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
Too often you see a player dip as low as he did and then top five in scoring in the league the next year.
Yeah, he was going 70, 60, 50 points, and I predicted he was going to end up with 40 points this season.
Right, bottom out, yeah.
And he's doubled it.
I actually think, you know, after tooting his horn as much as I have, I got to go with Alexander Ovechkin.
Ooh. Wow.
So I'm
That's
going
a dark horse right
three
there.
Russians as my top three. I doubt that's ever happened before. So, yeah, and I think ultimately I would probably give we'll see what happens. I'm not going to give any clear-cut winner, but Ovechkin, I mean, 35% of his team's points, whereas what Kucherov is at 85, let's see where. And the Lightning have 240 goals. So, he's about the same, 30%. It just seems like, you know, Ovechkin. It also has to do with Washington has 203 goals.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay has 240. So, that's drastic. I mean, over the course of, you know, 65 games, it's an extra goal in 40 of those games almost. So
yeah, I honestly could see Ovechkin getting it before Malkin, in my opinion, just because of the goal scoring factor.
The fact that he has
so many of his team's
40
goals.
40 goals, and he'll win the Maurice Richard trophy. So yeah, I mean Malkin is 37 goals though. That's why the fact that he has so many goals too definitely pops him up there for me. But I think that's our Hart Trophy.
Wow. All right. There it is, folks.
So we actually have very different players other than Kucherov.
Yeah.
We have the same guy. So,
yeah, and I think that again goes into the weight that winning and making the playoffs holds for you versus what it holds for me.
Right. But now, okay, let's say if Taylor Hall goes another, let's say he has a point through the rest of the season.
Yep.
It's going to be tough not to give him the Hart.
Oh, no.
It's going to be tough. Now, I also think that you may have a different Hart Trophy winner. Actually, I'm going to say it today. There will be a different Hart Trophy winner than a oh my gosh, what's the trophy called now? It's not the Lester B. Pearson anymore. It's something else.
Oh, the Ted Lindsay.
The Ted Lindsay, yes. Yeah. So I think
voted
that
be a di- the
there will be a different winner. Whereas most of the time, it's the same guy almost every single time.
Yeah.
I think there'll be a different winner. I think that writers are going to maybe give a little more credit to like a streak that Taylor Hall's having, mm-hmm. especially if it keeps on going and going and going and going. So who knows? It might be over tonight.
Yeah.
Even play tonight?
That's true.
All right. Well, is there that was my idea to do the trophy side. What else? What other things you want to chat about here?
I wanted to talk about the goaltender interference. I know.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I know. I know. We just
as our resident goalie here.
Yeah, I don't want to spend too much time on it because it's very irritating. But I know you being the big Maple Leafs fan that you are, and I was watching the game last night and.
I'm actually very impressed that did you actually watch the game or did you see
I watched the second half.
So you watched the second half of a Leafs Buffalo game that was like 3-1.
Yeah.
When you started watching.
Yeah.
I'm impressed and I feel like maybe did you think of me a little bit?
A little bit.
Yes.
Yeah, a little bit.
All right.
Yeah, so I got it from my hockey game, right? And which was a 3-2 loss, and I'm super, super peeved about. Don't want to go into too much detail.
Hey, that's pretty good for roller hockey.
No, it is. Three goals. Yeah. Well, okay. First goal, my defenseman behind the net passes it right out to their guy, just wide open. He pulls a Josh Ford.
Yes. Shout out to, I don't think he's at Josh Ford. I think he's something else, and I'm going to find it while you tell the story.
Yeah, so passes the puck out to their forward out in front of the net, and he's got a wide open, just tap me in, one-timer, basically set up by our own D-man. Second goal, they're on the power play. Just a small little shot from a bad angle, and it goes off my defenseman's skate in front of the net. Nothing you could do about it kind of goal. And then the third goal, which was ridiculous, okay? They have a three-on-two coming down our way. And in roller hockey, for those that don't know, it's played 4-on-4. So 3-on-2 coming down our way. The only two guys on playing D for me take the one guy with the puck, and all he does is he just drops it back, and they have a 2-on-0 basically at this point, and just a simple little wrister, and I'm playing far out of my net, and it was just ridiculous. I was so irritated, and I was making some nice saves. But anyways, back to the whole point of this. So when I got home from my game, I get home, make a little snack, little protein I need at the end of the night. Turn on NHL on NBC, and it's the second half of the Buffalo Maple Leafs game. So I'm like, I got to finish watching this just for Mark, just so we can talk about it tomorrow, so I can get his thoughts on the whole game and not necessarily thinking anything's going to happen. And then last goal of the game. Who is it? Larson, I believe, from Buffalo.
Oh, 4-2. This is the fourth goal of the game.
Yeah. Fourth goal of the game.
Oh, fifth.
Yeah,
fifth,
okay.
Fifth for the Sabres,
yeah. Yeah, so it's 4-2. Buffalo's coming down, dumps it in the zone. I don't know who it was on. I think it was, what's his face? Number 51. Why can't I think of
Jake Gardner.
Yeah. Gardner, thank you. Yeah, Gardner plays the puck off the wall trying to clear it out, basically.
Yeah, he really struggled to clear the puck on that play. It didn't look good.
Turns it over to a Buffalo player. They throw it at the net. The rebound comes off of Anderson, and Larson skating in towards the top of the crease and cuts back up towards in front of Anderson. And essentially, as he's cutting in, he sticks out his skate and trips up Anderson, and Anderson just... I don't want to say he sold it a little bit, but he did.
Anderson made a heck of an effort to try and get to it. He had his stick in the right area. It just happened to go underneath his stick because of the angle that he was then at, because he was on his back as opposed to being upright and being able to push off his left leg over to the right post and make a fairly easy save.
Yes.
What should have been an easy save, but instead he's sprawling because he got tripped and pulled the opposite way of the net.
Yep.
And then you're left with just your body and your stick, and it's... Yeah, it shouldn't have been no goal. And
So Larson's right skate comes out, trips up Anderson's left pad, falls backwards, puck goes, like you said, underneath the stick, and it's a goal. Babcock challenges like any good coach would have, and they come back out, and there's like the call on the ice stands as is. And
no explanation, of course.
No, of course not. Not a single explanation. And for weeks and weeks, all I've been hearing about on NHL radio, and I think they all have just stopped talking about it because it's so irritating now at this point, on how... There is no clear defined rule, because all it says is just the interpretation of the refs.
Right.
Which at that point, right. it's just like whatever they feel like calling that game is what they're going to call goalie interference. So there's no clear defined, oh, you know, if he forcefully, you know, goes into the goaltender or if he, you know, I mean, purposefully tries to make a, you know, contact with the goaltender, it's disallowed. There's no language like that that really clearly defines goalie interference. And after watching that, I'm livid being a goaltender. I'm like, I would just be hot as can be. And then, of course, my first thought is Mark Paul is probably just throwing something and breaking his TV at this point.
So the problem with, I understand the rule is left up to interpretation. And there's some debate as to whether or not that should be the case. But what interpretation tells you that when a guy's going to the net, that you can trip the goalie with your foot and score directly following that play? Now, maybe was it that they said he was outside of his crease? If that's the case, then make the rule, if the goaltender leaves his crease, he's fair game.
Mm-hmm.
In which case, even if that were the rule, let's say that now we have a new rule where if a goalie leaves his crease and doesn't have any part of his toe in the crease anymore, then he's fair game. And anything that happens, happens. Now, if a player were a defenseman, let's say Jake Gardner was going for the puck,
mm-hmm.
and somebody skated behind him and tripped him with their foot, that would be a tripping penalty.
Yes.
And they'd just go to the box because when they touched the puck, it wouldn't matter if they scored, the whistle would go, it would be a tripping penalty.
Right.
Now, when you go back and you review, now my thought is maybe they went, well, he was outside of his crease and he was moving towards the puck and this was just incidental. But even an incidental trip is a trip. Like, how yes. often does a guy, he is
stepped
going
on
for the
his
puck
stick or something.
And he moves his foot a certain way and catches the foot of another guy and pulls him down.
Yep.
And it's a trip, whether you meant to or not. It's a trip.
Yep, because you're supposed to have control of your body, your stick, everything.
I think there needs to be some level of accountability to this. I think that a referee should have to come out and explain why. And I don't know why. This is going to sound bad, but the fact that the referee who made the call, I'm going to look up his name because that's how you've made me more mad about this than maybe I was last night. You made me feel like I'm supposed to be mad about this a little more.
Wow.
So
okay.
I'm gonna be more mad. I need to find out who the referee is. You know, the NHL.com used to make it a whole lot easier. There used to just be like game, like a button, you one button underneath the score yeah. sheet, and it would pull up like the official score sheet, not all this like game center stuff,
highlights, advanced statistics.
I just want to. Oh, actually, this is actually it. This is what I want. Maybe game summary. Oh,
yep,
yes,
there
the
is.
Game summary is exactly what I want. So it would have been Kendrick Nicholson and Mark Jonette. I'm not sure which one it was.
Mm-hmm.
One of those two was the referee who was calling it. My guess is that it's Kendrick Nicholson, but because he's the main referee, but I'm not totally sure. It's something about that smug French accent that just made it worse, didn't it?
When
it, like, it was almost like he
rubbing
just,
it in.
I don't know. There's
salt
just something
on the wound,
and maybe it had nothing. No, the accent definitely has a way of rubbing you the wrong way a little bit. I don't know why. It just does. I'm sorry, my French friends. We do have a French friend of the show.
Yeah,
so
it's true.
I have no problem. Nothing against French people. It's just something about the way he said it and his accent. It could have been you could have a smug Southern accent. Actually, no, you can't.
No,
you can't have a smug Southern accent.
You can
accent.
Have an ignorant Southern
yes,
accent.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
No smugness there.
Yeah, it just hold these guys accountable and say, look, because the referee is the one who makes the decision on goaltender interference. They look at those little tiny iPads. Like, at least have a freaking jumbo size TV in the box there. Why? They cost $500.
I know.
Not even. They get a bunch of them.
And they paid they probably paid $400 for the iPad.
Yeah. Why are they looking at it on the little tiny screen like that? anyways, that's just insane to me. But make these guys, since they want to be the ones who make the call, make them have to give an explanation.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have to tell us why. And you know what? If you choose not to tell the crowd why, then we fine you. And that's sure. And you know, if a referee what's a referee going to do? Are they going to say, well, then fine, I quit. Okay, where else are you going to go?
Right.
There's nowhere else. There's no leverage in terms of like, well, we'll just go to a different workplace. What, are you going to go to the American Hockey League that's also controlled basically by the NHL? The NHL's a little bitch. Like, that's what they are. Yeah, go to the KHL and what? Yeah, and there's
10 rubles a game.
Yeah, well, you might not get paid.
That too.
Yeah, we might just not pay you for this game. Oh, and by the way, our airliners aren't exactly in the greatest shape either.
Ooh.
So there's a whole lot of reasons not to go there. You want to go to the OHL and travel on buses all the time? I know those guys.
Yep.
They have all the leverage in the world. Just tell them this is what you have to do. It's not unreasonable. I mean, there's what's the guy's name? Wes McCauley.
Yep.
Who actually gives explanations sometimes. He like kind of hypes it up a little bit. He's kind of fun. But he actually tells you why something maybe was the way that it was.
Sure.
I just don't understand why you just don't. Like, what's the secret? Why does it have to be secret?
Right. Well, for me, just looking at it from a standpoint like, hey, okay, he obviously came to a conclusion that said, you know what? We can't make this call because there's lack of evidence, or not even necessarily just on goalie interference, just on calls in general, right? You want some sort of accountability so when you go at the end of the year and you're evaluating, if you're the head of all referees in the NHL and you're evaluating the guys you're putting on the ice and you're saying, okay, this guy clearly got it wrong. Why did he get it wrong? You look back at his reasoning and you can say, okay, well, that was dumb. Why did he do that? Pull up the reason. You can evaluate it, and you can say, okay, he's been getting them wrong on a consistent basis. Why? This guy clearly shouldn't be an NHL ref. Let's get rid of him.
Or just, hey, look, here's the evidence now we have. This probably should have been a goal, and it wasn't. It's too much for referees to handle. Mm-hmm. We're going to take it, and we're going to give it to Toronto, too.
Yeah.
And they're going to make all the decisions. That way, you have the same, five or six people making all the decisions.
Yeah, you don't
which
have...
Which, it's a much different 40 than
people
having...
people trying to figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. So...
And again, it comes back to interpretation, because now you have 40 different guys interpreting the same rule different ways versus five or six.
And you know what? I would be okay with it. I think you could keep it. If that referee had to come out and say... The call on the ice is that it is going to stand as a goal. The reason being that the goaltender went outside his crease to attack the puck, and the skater that was going for the puck, he didn't have enough time to react because of the way Anderson went out top. Therefore, we determined that the contact was incidental and it's a good goal. If you said that, you'd get people going, ah. You're telling me you think that contact is incidental, but at least you'd have something to talk about. At least right now we're going, what the fuck was he thinking?
Right.
Did he just not call it because he was out of his crease? Did he not call it because it was a trip, or we don't know, or if he got pushed, or what was it?
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know. Well, as at least if they give a reason, then we know, and we can debate the reason, and then ultimately it can come down to this. We can go, okay, let's take this one incident, and we go, okay, his reasoning was that the goalie made a move towards the puck. Then you could start to decide, do we change the rule book to say that if the goaltender leaves his crease and makes a move for the puck outside the crease, that if there's contact on that goaltender, then it's not goalie interference because the goalie initiated the contact?
Sure.
I would be fine with that.
Yep.
But when it's not in the rules, then the next referee could look at it and go, well, yeah, I mean, he tripped him. It doesn't matter that he was outside the crease. He tripped him.
Yeah.
Even if he was going for the puck, it's the goalie. The goalie first has the right to make the save.
Yeah, he is.
And he didn't have the chance to make the save. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I actually don't think that it didn't look like it was on purpose. It didn't look like he actually was like trying to trip him.
No, he was trying to cut in.
He was just trying to cut in and get around him. But yeah, it shouldn't have been a goal. Maybe it wouldn't have made a difference. It was a 5-2 goal, but hey, they ended up scoring a goal late in the game. And
yep.
Yeah.
But anyways, and it's just funny enough, they ended up scoring on a power play goal, which was for a goalie interference call.
I need a drink.
We just went from like a 3 to an 8.5.
Yeah, you got me fired up. More fired up than I was watching it. Because last night I was like, whatever, this game's over anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah. My brother, Luke, who actually has been on the show before,
yeah,
he told me that, he said, when Austin Matthews got hurt, he said, don't worry, we don't need Matthews. He's like, we'll be fine. I said, are you insane? He's like, we have 21 points up on the Florida Panthers right now. And in a few days, that's become 15. And they still have 5 games in hand on us. So I wonder if he'll have the same tune if the Florida Panthers somehow win all 5 of those games that they have in hand on us. And then they're 5 points minus.
Oh. How wild would that be if Toronto finishes in the wild card spot?
It'd be pretty wild.
Yeah. No pun intended.
Who would they play? They would probably end up playing the Washington Capitals.
Yeah.
And they didn't look that great against in that outdoor game. That outdoor game was weird. Speaking of that outdoor game, did you see their jerseys? Those white on white on white on white on white on white?
I did see a little white, yes.
Okay, this is what I want to see. I want to see the NHL go to blue ice.
Yeah.
In a game like that.
Yeah.
Go to blue ice. It'll make it look so much better and so much easier on the eyes. If you can go to YouTube and you can look up blue ice.
Mm-hmm.
In like the OHL, they do it, and it looks so good.
You know what I didn't mind, though, too, is that I loved the blue and red jerseys with the wings and maple leaves at the Big House.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh,
just those two dark colors.
Yep, those were great.
Fantastic.
Those were great.
You could go back to that, and then you don't have to worry about changing the color of the ice.
There you go.
But
hey. There you go. But the color of the ice, it just changes the whole viewing of it. Like,
it does.
White is the worst color on TV, right? Like, so
yeah.
If they could just figure out a good balance for the way the ice should look.
Hey, blue and red are the easiest colors for your eyes to recognize and view.
And, you know, there's something to be said about football and baseball, very obviously more popular in the NHL, and there's nice green fields, and there's something relaxing about it. Golf, people love watching golf, and all it is just green all over the place.
Yeah.
And green is a very, like, mood-setting, relaxing color. I know basketball is, like, brown, but...
Oh, there's nothing worse when you get that basketball court when it's got like that ugly, like they forgot to stain half the court color going on. And I'm like, what happened?
When I think of watching basketball, all I can think of is shoes squeaking everywhere. Kind of that in itself bothers me. Although I am looking forward to March Madness coming up on it soon.
Michigan winning back-to-back Big Ten titles for
the
first team in the Big Ten since 07, I think.
Hot dang.
Yeah. So pretty good. Good on them.
Good on them. Well, anything, any games this coming couple days?
I know
we'll do another show here later in the week, but next couple days, obviously it's Tuesday, and you know there are Panthers and Lightning. I think that tonight is a great test for the Panthers.
Oh yeah,
we'll see what they can bring against their in-state rivals, and if the Panthers were to make the playoffs. Pretty good chance they'd play the Lightning in the first round, which the league is probably dying for.
Yes, an in-state
because they
rivalry.
Are. If the Panthers can't make the playoffs, they've made the playoffs one time since 1999.
Since they won the division,
that's the only year they made the playoffs.
Yeah,
or 2000 they made the playoffs. You know what? You know the year they made the playoffs. It was 99-2000. They played the New Jersey Devils in the first round, which obviously we know the Devils went on to win the Stanley Cup that year in overtime. The good old Jason Arnott goal.
Oh yes,
against Eddie Belfour going in and scoring. And I remember watching that game with my dad. And it's whatever overtime it was, and whoever passed him the puck, whoever had the puck, it was like a 2-on-2, and two guys went for the guy with the puck. And I stood up. I hated the Devils. They beat the Leafs that year. And they were
the Devils
so boring to watch.
95 when they swept the Wings.
Two defensemen go, two defensemen go towards the guy with the puck. And I stand up and I point Arnett. I see him at the bottom of the screen. And I remember this is back when it was standard def. And so you didn't even get the whole screen. All I could see, I think, was the top of his head going by on the bottom of the screen. And I said, no, 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 take him. Pass the puck over, Arnott scores, and they win the cup in OT. So that was that. But no, they played the Panthers in the first round. The only time in the playoffs that I can remember seeing a team score a goal 5-on-3 like down two men shorthanded.
Yeah.
The only time in the playoffs. Do you know who scored that goal?
No.
Just take a guess. It was the Devils 2000s. Wait, guess.
The Devils scored the goal.
The Devils scored the goal. They were down 5-on-3. That's back when the Panthers had Pavel Bure.
Yeah, really. You're not going to say Niedermeyer, are you?
No, it was actually Scott Stevens. Scott Stevens scored a 5-on-3 goal.
The only time in his career.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know how many of those have even been scored over the course of history. But anyways, yeah, so there's your Florida Panthers lesson.
Yeah. Another big test tonight coming up. Dallas at Nashville. So there's a possible first-round matchup, let alone a good test for the Stars to see if they can keep up with just the balanced scoring from all four lines
in
Nashville.
The Predators look like they'll probably end up being the top team in the league when all is said and done. President's Trophy is within their grasp, and it looks like they're going to take it.
And Mike Fisher coming in tonight, too.
Yes, he scored already. He scored in his first game.
Yes, he did.
So, impressive for Mike Fisher. Tomorrow night, Penguins, Flyers can never hate watching those games. And then, of course, the Flyers quick turnaround and play the Bruins the next night, which will be another good bout. So, yeah, that's. I mean, there's lots of games on. Blues Sharks. Blues really need a win.
Yes, they do.
So that's if they keep losing and those other teams around them keep winning, they're going to be out of it. And
Islanders playing Edmonton. There's another team that needs a win.
The Islanders desperately need a win.
Lost 7 in a row right now.
Is it 7 in a row at this point? Wow.
And they're kicking themselves for not making a trade for a goaltender. I mean, you have to be.
I just don't understand it.
No, I don't.
Seeing as what the Flyers got for Mrazek, or had to pay for Mrazek, it wasn't a high cost. They're sitting 4 points out of a playoff spot, and they lost to Vancouver, a Brock Besserless Vancouver.
Right.
Scored, put up 4 on them.
Leipzig just put 2 goals in.
Dude. Brandon Leipzig, former Toronto Maple Leaf, former Las Vegas Knight.
Yeah, that fourth goal too. When he put it in his second, Halak just had no business coming out of the net, and Leipzig just basically went around him and just easy tapping.
Now there was back when Yaroslav Halak was having his playoff run with the Montreal Canadiens.
I remember they were debating
Carey Price. Yeah, yes. People were like, "Oh, should they trade Price?" And they're like, "No, you freaking idiot! Of course they're not going to trade Price." And he had only been in the league for like a year and a half or something like that. So, but yeah, Halak had this crazy run in. I think it was 2009 or 10. And I remember it was about the same time that there was a certain Lady Gaga song out.
Oh,
and
boy.
Somebody mixed the, they remixed the song to be Yaroslav Halak, go bring a Stanley Cup, Yaroslav Halak.
So bad.
It was fantastic. Maybe I'll see if I can find the link and I'll post it in the episode.
Oh, no.
We're going to have to watch that. Maybe that's what we'll let the... We'll let the episode air out on that
note. Yes, please. There's nowhere else to go.
Yaroslav Halak, please.